Awesome God. Mighty God. Wonderful God. Righteous God. The Almighty God. The one who can kill and the one who can make alive. Who seeth a thing and it cometh to pass when the Almighty has not commanded it. Thank you for your awesome presence in our midst. Thank you for what you are already doing, what you are going to do in the mighty name of Jesus. As we hear the word of God today, let your power flow and heal every sick body. Let your power flow and save every sinner. Let your power flow and restore every backslider. Pull down every power and principalities in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, please continue to help us even as we worship this great God. In Jesus' name we pray. Give somebody a hard high five and say to him or her, welcome to his presence. And you will please be seated. I will encourage us to visit our YouTube channel and go through the first part of this message. So tonight, this morning, we'll be continuing the second part of this sermon, and I will be taking my scripture reading from Micah 6 and verse number 8. Micah 6 and verse 8. It has showed thee, O man, what is good and what that the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before thy God. Your action is required. And in that action that is required, please put your hands together as we appreciate the choir and as we appreciate the band. Thank you. You see, Church of God, from one generation to the other, God has always revealed to man what is required in order to please him. Because it is only when your ways are pleasing to him that your enemies can be at peace with you. Proverbs 16 and verse 7. Proverbs 16 and verse 7. And faith is the major attribute that is required of anyone who wants to please God. God requires that humans should be good. God requires that humans should follow after justice, fair justice, no partiality, no favoritism. God expects humans to follow after true justice. God requires that humans should show love and to show mercy to fellow human beings. You should be able to empathize with those that are going through issues of life. Always remember that you are a created being. You are not God. And stop acting as God because you are not. Stop acting as though you have the final say concerning the destinies of those God brought your way. Don't act as God. I've heard people say, as long as I am here, you will not be able. In fact, they will say, after my dead body. And that's why you're going to die if you don't change your mind. Because you are not God. You don't have the finality of things. Only God does. Therefore, brothers and sisters, endeavor to use every opportunity that comes your way to the betterment of people. Be a success story. It's good to be good. Tell your neighbor so. He says, listen, he had showed thee, O man, what is good. The Bible did not say, he had showed thee, O Christian. No, he said he had showed thee, O man, because you don't have to be a Christian to be a good person. You don't have to be a Christian to love people and to be lovable. You cannot afford, Church of God, to shy away from the necessity of taking intentional steps in order to better your life and those around you. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Because God is always in the business of showing people what to do in order to enjoy the fullness of life. Hence, church, God will not do for you what he has showed you to do. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. He's not going to do for you what he has showed you how to do. All he expects you to do is to jump into action. After which, he will begin to order your footsteps. The elders, we say, is the child that spread wide his hand or hands that will be carried. What God has showed you, he's not going to do it for you. Trust me. You remember the story of Hagar and her son Ishmael dying of thirst in the wilderness. She cast the child away from her because she said, I don't want to see this child die. Even though the situation surrounding the birth of Ishmael is questionable, but he is and he still is, or he was and he still is, part of Abraham. So God showed her something in Genesis 21:19. And God opened her eyes. May God open your eyes. Oh, look at, just hear your amen. I say, may God open your eyes. The well was there. And God opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. God showed her a well, and then she acted by moving forward. And she drew out of the well and gave her son water to drink. If she refused to act on the revelation of the well, her son Ishmael would have died of thirst. You remember Papa Abraham and his son Isaac, that was supposed to be crucified. The Bible says in Genesis 22:13, the Bible said there, it says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God showed Abraham a ram caught in the thicket. God showed him the ram caught in the thicket. Abraham acted by walking forward and loosed it and offered it in place of his son. Let me tell you, church, there are wells in form of business opportunities. No, you didn't get that. There are wells in form of business opportunities. There are rams caught in the thicket waiting for you to explore. But here you are still binding and losing. You are still fasting and praying. When God expects you to step out into what he has gone ahead to prepare for you. He said, this year, I am holding your right hand. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. He has straightened the place. He has opened your eyes. In fact, some of you, you have the idea of what God wants you to do. But you are saying, if God wants me to do it, he will make me do it. He's not going to do it. He showed Abraham the ram caught in the ticket. It was Abraham that went and loosed it and sacrificed it. He showed Hagar the well of water filled up in the wilderness. God did not say, Drew. No. God will not do that. He will give you the yam, but he will not cook the yam for you. He will give you that baby, that beautiful woman. He will not love her for you. No, he will give you that man with 6-pack or 1-pack, but you are the one to love him. He's not going to love him for you. Did you understand what I've just said? He will promote you. But staying in that promotion is left to you. A lot of us, you have been promoted, but your attitude has brought you down. Laziness has brought you down. When you're supposed to be busy on your desk, you are praying. Oh, 12 o'clock, I have to pray. They did not pay you to come and pray there. They paid you to work. There is time. You can use your break time to pray, not work time. For a laborer is worthy of his wages. A lot of you, God will have promoted you, but you will not move when he wants you to move. I will open double doors for you, and it shall be open continually day and night, but it's not going to push you inside. A lot of you, you will go to hell, the bottom part of hell, because Jesus Christ said, I stand by the door and knock. He will not bulldoze that door. You have to open the door for him to come in. When he comes in, he said, I will then begin to eat. He's not an unwelcomed guest. You have to welcome him. Ingang, he's knocking. You have to open it. Otherwise, he will just leave. Shout hallelujah, somebody. You remember Peter? What did I say? Use your language to call it. Jesus and Peter, the fisherman. Luke 5 verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nest break. Their nest that they were mending and cleaning break. The Bible said it was broken. Now listen, what was Jesus doing when their nest break or was broken? Nothing. No, Jesus did not say, hey, who dead here? Who is here? Who is here? Come and help. Come and help. You are waiting for Jesus to do for you what he has already empowered you to do. He's not going to do it. He did nothing. We're just looking at them. The reason? He showed them where the fishes were. And that was his job. God is going to introduce to you the business. The feasibility studies is not going to do it. What was it Peter did? Peter did not say, Lord, help. No. If he had prayed that prayer, his praying amidst. Lord, help me love this woman. No, you don't have to be a Christian to know how to love. You know how to love now. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me to eat. Help me now. God will say, Angel Gabriel, let's move on. Let's go and do something better. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was Peter that had the problem. It was Peter that knew where the shoe was pinching. You are waiting for, pastor, pray, pastor, pray. I will pray, but I don't know where the shoes are pinching. It was Peter that was losing what God has blessed him with. A lot of you, God has blessed you with a good marriage, but you are not watching over your marriage. He has given you a business, but you are so lazy. It was Peter that knew that what he had just got will escape from this breakage. And see what Peter did. Luke 5 verse 7. Look at Luke 5 verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. If you read this story, this experience just change Peter's life. When you encounter God, you will see your misery. Say, no, depart from me, for I'm a sinner. Do good. You don't have to preach the gospel. People want to know your God. Jesus did not say, Peter, be born again. And Jesus Christ said, okay, if that be the case, today, we will not be catching fishes again. I will make you fishers of men. You know our problem? As a church, we have no partners. Even church members, you don't relate with them. Outsiders, you don't relate with them. Lone Ranger. Nobody you can compare notes with. Peter called his partners. It was not troubled time, he called them. They had been together. And that's why I told you, we're in this thing together. Don't use God as a ceiling fan. Only when you need the ceiling fan, you turn it on. How many of us use the ceiling fan this time? It's not needed. But the time is coming very soon. Who are your partners? As a doctor, do you have other doctors you commune with? As a nurse, do you have other nurses you compare notes with? As an IT guy, you are not an embedment of knowledge. There are people who still know it better than you do. Choir. The only time you rehearse is when Benga forced you guys. The only time you practice your voice, your parts. Benga will talk. How many hours do you spend on your own fine-tuning your voice? You'll be struggling. They know they give me mic for this church. They need to give me mic. Mic. How will God give you? Where you... make these people not come resign. Peter had partners. He had mentors. He called them. And guess what? When he called them, even their own ship that was empty was also filled. You don't partner with, even your wife, you are not partnering with her. Even your husband, you don't partner with him. even your pastor. The only time you call the pastor, not even when the problem starts. The ball don't bust. It ought not to be so. If Peter was struggling, so he could have lost all. But he, partners, come. Yam done. The soup is ready. Come. Look at your neighbor and say, Your action is required. The truth of the matter is that everyone plays a role in shaping their destiny and the world around them through their action. You should never play a nonchalant attitude when it comes to the issues that concerns you. E.g., we're having a marriage conference. It concerns you as a married couple. Or we are having a singles conference. It concerns you. Oh, the elders are meeting. It concerns you. The men forum will be meeting after church. They just spoke to you. They want to talk about you. The women's forum, the children's forum, it's about you. Listen, before I got married, hallelujah, I read books. Because I want to start an enterprise that I've never been to before. I attended conferences and seminars. I listened to married couples, those whose marriages are rocking, those whose marriages are in the verge of a collapse. I listened to them so that I will know how to treat myself and my marriage. The only books I did not read, the only seminars I failed to attend, is how to propose to a lady. And I did it poorly. Meet me in the classroom. Brethren, invest time and resources in yourself, because the better you will produce better results. Invest in yourself. Because this year of divine encounter is not a time for lazy people. Treat yourself well. Enjoy yourself. Spend some of your earnings, your savings on yourself. Eat well. Exercise well. Exercise. Though it profited little, but that little will help you. Because your action or inaction, that is what further explains your person. Being your brother or sister's keeper is the hallmark of Christianity. The Christians of old, they practiced it. And that's why in Isaiah 41, verse 6 and 7, Isaiah 41, 6 and 7. It says, they help everyone, his neighbor. And everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. And he that smoteth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. Anytime I read this verse of scripture, I say, wow. What a brotherhood of fellowship. The carpenter is encouraging the goldsmith, saying that I use nails. You are the one who use the soldering tools. I have done everything ready. In fact, I have pin it down with the nails. It will not move. Solder it now. It is time. It is time for action. My nails cannot hold it. I can just pin it down. But what holds it together is the soldering iron with lead. What a unity amongst the brotherhood. People, shine your eyes. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor, say, I should say to you, shine your spiritual eyes. There are still good business opportunities. There are still good investment, regardless of your previous failures. There are still good people. There are still good people out there waiting to help you actualize your goals, your dreams, and your aspiration. Look at me, brethren. Not everyone is jealous of your success. Not everyone. There are still destiny helpers. You prayerfully connect with them. Just because somebody failed you the other day doesn't mean that everyone will fail you. Because God says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will open unto you the double door. The gates, your gates shall be open both day and night. In this year of divine encounter, endeavor to befriend somebody. And befriendable. Let people befriend you. Be friendly. Be approachable. Stop wearing a frown all the time. You are not the one who killed Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, relax. It takes more nerves to frown. If he's still frowning, give him a smile. Listen to me, church. There are two categories of messages. Two categories of messages. The abbreviation of one is FYI for your information. The other one is FYA for your action. The message Peter got from Jesus was not for his information. It was for what? For his action. When God told Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones to prophesy, it was not for his information, it was for his action. The Bible says, and Ezekiel said, and I prophesied as I was commanded. There are certain times you prophesy. You don't have to be a prophet wearing white gown and royal blue with a big heart. No, you can use the word of God to prophesy. Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and there was a shaking. Bones began to come together. Please speak good words concerning you. Don't ever say, I am done for. I am hanging up there. I am managing. I am patching. My marriage is heading for a divorce, and I'm going to head to that divorce table. No, all those are negative words. You should not say those words. Say good things about yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, look at Bobo. Fine Bobo. Handsome Bobo. Look at this pretty baby. And God said, whatsoever I hear you say, that's what I'm going to do. So let the weak say, I am strong. Shout hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Always remember that procrastinating is not a good virtue. It's not a good way of living. Because procrastination is a thief of time. All it tells you is that you have all the time in the world. Take your time. Take your time. No rush. Take your time. It's a thief of time. If you are, I'm going to do it tomorrow. You said so yesterday. Because tomorrow, no, they finish. Tomorrow, I'll get it done. This tomorrow. I mean tomorrow. Oh, okay. Tomorrow. Act. If God wants you to talk to that baby, go to her prayerfully and say, meet me in the classroom. Don't do that. What shall you do? Huh? Okay, see mommy. Mommy will tell you what to do. Job 32, verse 8. We're going to join my preaching with the prayer for today, because we have quite a lot to do. So I'll just link up what we're doing now with the prayer for today. And after we share the grace, we just head home. Job 32, verse 8. Job 32, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Holy, of the Almighty giveth them understanding. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Listen to me, Church of God. The Holy Spirit relates with the spirit of man. He, the Holy Spirit, passes information to the spirit of man, whether you are born again or not. Did you get that? The Holy Spirit passes information, invention, how to invent things, how to improve our medical science, how to improve our IT world, how the doctors will research. Let me tell you, there's nothing that happens that God is not part of it. Because he rules and reigns in the affair. He said, there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. That spirit is small s. So it's the spirit of man. You know you are body, soul, and spirit. The Holy Spirit will whisper to you. The only people who prosper are those who step out promptly with the information. A lot of us, the ideas the Holy Spirit revealed to you is still on the shelf of your mind. And let me tell you, every inspiration of the Almighty that he has given to mankind, they have expiration date and time. And that's why most inventors and scientists, they are not even born again. Some of them say, there is no God. They will answer later, but do what I've inspired you to do. The only satellite station that was prominent in Africa was Lanlante satellite station. When they used to tell me as a young boy that there's a place you will go, you'll be talking to somebody and you'll be seeing him. How many of us heard about Lanlante? Only Okongos, old people. It's there in Nigeria. I say, how possible? You'll be talking to somebody and you'll be seeing him. I say, But see what God has done the world to. It used to be a global village. But now, the world is at your backyard. In fact, not at your backyard. At the palm of your hand. Some of you are struggling to keep that phone, because you're so addicted. My wife and I were on vacation. As many as we are. I hope hunchback, all of us no go get hunchback. Everybody. The world is now in your hand. And that's why you have to act on God's information. And guess who is using this gadget the most? Not you. The devil. At times I'll be doing my, at times I've been preparing Bible study. You just, hi, are you available? before I, because as a pastor, when you are, there was one that clicked like this. Guess what I saw? Bum bum. Why are you laughing? Oh, have you seen anything like that? That idea, as a pastor, hi, are you there? Hey, can you? Yeah, wait a minute. So I saw one, three dots on top. I hit it. They say, if you're not interested, hit it. So how do you stop such things? Huh? I block it. Huh? Another one will show up. So what can I go do? Just keep scrolling. I shouldn't look. So point and say, Pastor, God will help you. Your action is required. You're talking about cell phone. What about a woman in the house with you that is supposed to be your boss that say you must sleep with me? And Joseph said, no, sir, no, ma. I will not do this because I will sin against God. It's the same thing. You can't eat what you don't want to eat. So you make up your mind. He said, he has shown you, oh man, what is good. What is expected of you. To be righteous, to be just, to love, to have mercy. Shall we rise? Please look up. I'm talking to you this way to let you know that your action is required if you have to get the best of God. It has nothing to do with your titles, doctor, pastor, archbishop, pope, or whatsoever the accolade that you receive. It has nothing to do with it, just your action to say, this God is my God, now and forever. And anything it takes to please him, that will I do. You are the one to make that decision. The reason, if you look at 1 Samuel 2 verse 3, 1 Samuel 2 verse 3, it says, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Listen, before God can commit to your action or actions, he will weigh your action. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar's son in Daniel chapter 5 verse 27? Say, Tekel, Daniel 5, 27. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. What are your actions towards mankind? Do you misuse people? Do you take advantage of the disadvantage? I told you the story, mommy, pastor, and I. Every house boy or house girl that came our way, we did not take undue advantage of them. We were a blessing to them as they were a blessing to us. They slept the same time we are sleeping. They will wake up the same time. The same food we are eating on the same table. That's what we did. We encouraged them to go to school. We paid for their schools. Today, many of them are doing well. There's one of them is the chief accountant of a region in Nigeria. One of them worked in RUN, University, Redeemer's University for All Nations. She worked there. She was a house girl. Our driver today, he's doing tailoring. And he has a band, musical band. The last time I saw him, he said, I'm following after you. Your actions will be weighed how you treat your husband. Your actions will be weighed how you treat your wife, how you treat your children. Are you there for them? It says, God will weigh your action. He weighed the son of Nebuchadnezzar. He said that you will put your action on balance and you are found wanting. You want God to support you. A divine encounter. He will weigh your action. If you encounter God, what are you going to do? Peter encountered God and he called his neighbor. Come and enjoy. Come. Food don't be ready. Come. Your action should be geared towards pulling people up. Your action should be geared how to help the helpless. I've showed thee. You should be your brother's keeper. Should be your sister's keeper. And that is why the hallmark of Christianity is to help the helpless. Look at what James chapter 2 with this. We will pray. James 2:15-16. It says, if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmth and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit you? What does it profit you? You have so much to eat, but your brother is in need. What does it profit you? You notice that there's a brother in church that is in need. Let me tell you, fingers are not equal. So also our financial and material status. We are not equal. Act promptly in the men's forum, in the women's forum, in the singles forum. Act promptly when there is a need. Jump at it. Don't even allow that brother to call pastor. Be open that people can come to you and say, bro, I can't pay my rent this year. You don't ridicule him. You don't laugh at him. You don't begin to go around and say, he wants me to pay his rent. Rent ni. He becomes somebody you begin to ridicule. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as though thou hast not received it? If you have that opportunity to help that brother, please help. And that's what this church is for. Except the information doesn't get to me. That a brother, a child of God in this church is in need. The accountant will give you a report, the amount we spend in helping the needy in our church. Just because he's in need, that doesn't devalue him. That doesn't make him less a Christian. Peter and John, with all the anointing, they have no shishi, no silver, no gold, but they had anointing. He may not be able to have that big car, that big house, but see him as a child of God and help him as a child of God. We are brothers. He said, because you have this, you can pay your bills, you can build houses, you can buy houses. He said, what that makes you differ from a brother that Christ died for? What do you have that we are not given? So if we are given, why are you braggadociously talking to us? I said, let us drink water. My mama go say, let me drink water and put cup on top the pot. Let us humble ourselves. If you have the opportunity, humble yourself and begin to give and begin to help. And I want to thank God that this church is a giving church. I just want us to do more. I'm not pulling you down. You are a giving church. Tell you. Some of you, you shake me to my bones the way you give to God. Keep it on. That is what we are here for. That's why when it comes to offering for the needy, please jump at it. Because on that day, Jesus Christ will say, I was hungry and you fed me. I was in need, you met my need. I was naked and you clothed me. And Jesus Christ will say, they will ask, ah, Jesus, say, you did it for that brother. You were doing it for me. He told Paul, why are you kicking against the prick? We are a church. They know us all over the world that we are a family church. Let us live as a church. A choir? Uh-huh. So hold the hand of that your brother and look at him. Squeeze the hand small and say, we are brothers, we are sisters by force, by fire. So you are praying for that brother now. You're praying for that sister. Say to God, this is my brother. This is my sister. Whatsoever need or needs are in his life, I am joining my faith with him. Lord God, please meet him, meet her at the point of our needs. Whether physically, spiritually, material, whatsoever it is. Mentally, emotionally. Oh Lord, I'm agreeing with this, my brother. I'm agreeing with this, my sister. Oh Lord, arise. Oh Lord, arise. Meet him at the point of his need. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, King of glory, everlasting Father, we surely meet you.
Makasikanama Shantadiaraba. Meet him at the point of his needs. His spiritual needs, his physical needs, his material needs, his emotional needs. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Tell him, please leave my hand. Thank you for praying for me. We're going to pray now, like I said. And after the prayers, we'll go on. And when we share the grace finally, we will just wait for the service of song and we are done for the day. We prayed a prayer yesterday. The Bible says, yet Michael, that is Jude 1 verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, just not bring against him a ruling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So we are going to pray. You're going to say, as you stretch your hands towards the altar, please pray fervently. You're going to say, Satan, concerning the issues of my life, concerning the issues of my marriage, my business, my ministry, my health, my finances, my driving around, my children driving around. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Let me have some music. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Concerning the issues of my life, concerning my marriage, concerning my children, concerning my ministry, concerning my health, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Pray prayer. My destiny, I cancel it in the name of Jesus. Every word spoken against my destiny, I cancel it in the name of Jesus. Every word spoken against my destiny by the kingdom of darkness, by the devil and his cohorts, I cancel it. I cancel it. I cancel it. Concerning the issues of my life, concerning the issues of my marriage, my home, I come against every evil pronouncement, every evil words spoken against me. I reject it. I reject it. Every evil word spoken against my destiny, I reject it. I cancel it. I refuse it. And say, John, you will not die prematurely. You will not die prematurely. You will not die accidentally. I will grow. I will grow an agent in the name of Jesus. Prayer. Call your names. John, you will not die prematurely. You will not die accidentally. You will not die untimely death. You will be old and aged. Oh, how are we? Somebody's praying. How are we? Somebody's praying. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Say amen like thunder. In Exodus 23:25. He said, when you serve the Lord, he said, the first thing he will do, he will bless your bread. He will bless your water. Amen. He now said, I will take sicknesses and diseases from the midst of you. Amen. He says, none of you will cast your young. Amen. He now rounded it up. He said, your days, I add your weeks, your months, your decades, you will fulfill. Amen. That means you will not die before your time. Shout a better amen.
Amen.
So we are going to come against every spirit of infirmity that have tied people down, that is planning to tie people down. The Bible says in Matthew 15:13, it says, and he answered and said, he said, and he answering, he said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Clap your hands and pray and say, Father, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted, every spirit of infirmity that you have not planted, that is in our midst, that is in our body, in our soul, Lord, root it up. Let it be rooted up. Let it be rooted up. Pray, prayer, brother. You are praying for yourself. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. 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 In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Say better amen. I love this verse of scripture in Job 5:12. He said, he, that is God, disappointed the devices of the crafty so that their hands were not able to perform their enterprise, satanic and demonic enterprise. You are going to join that also with Job 20:15. Job 20:15. He said, he has swallowed down riches. He will vomit it out again. In case he's struggling not to, say, God, we cast it out of his belly. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. And say, oh God, disappoint the devices of the crafty in my home, in the life of Ibiforbara, in the life of Joy, her family, in the life of John, Priscilla, Joel, Princess, Jonathan, my spiritual children. Every riches that the enemy has swallowed, vomit it, vomit it. What are you waiting? Oh God, cast it out of their belly. Cast it out of their belly. Pray, prayer. Clap your hands. Cast it out of his belly. My blessing that have been swallowed. My promotion that have been swallowed. Oh Lord, cast it out of their bellies. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Listen to this. Anyone sitting on your blessing, anyone sitting on your promotion, anyone that says, as long as I'm here, you will not be promoted. As long as I'm here, it will not be well with you. If they don't change their mind, God is going to cast them out. Listen to this. I love this verse of scripture. In Psalm 18 and verse 45, I love it. He said, the strangers. The Yoruba way is sweeter. Ayayo pawa alejo. The interpretation that the strangers shall be what? Fade away. And they will be frightened out of their closed places. There are some places that the enemy has closed up. But God said they will fade away. That sickness will fade away. That cancer cell will fade away. That disease will fade away. It will fade away the way it came. That's how it's going to fade away. Clap your hands, lift up your voice, and say, every stranger in my body, you are not welcome. You will fade away. You will fade away. You will be afraid. Every stranger in my marriage, you will fade away. Every stranger in my womb, pray and say, you will fade away. Fibroid is a stranger. You will fade away. You will melt away. Cancer cell, you will fade away. You will melt away. Your womb is not meant for fibroid. It's meant to carry babies. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Oh, he said, I love this one the most. Proverbs 26, 27. I love it. It's sweet. Proverbs 26, 27. Look at it. He said, whoso? Whoso? Man or woman? Whether from Abonima, or from Okwekwe, or from Lakbete, or from Abekuta, anywhere they are from. He said, whoso? Whoso? Dig at a pit. God will allow them to dig it. When they finish, they will fall inside. Anyone that rolls a stone, if they don't change their mind, they will be back to sender. Clap your hands and say, every digger of pit for me and my family, after you have finished digging it, like Haman, you will load yourself inside the pit. Every stone that you have pushed towards me, that stone will boomerang back to sender. Back to sender. Back to sender. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. This one is even sweeter. It's even sweeter. It's even sweeter. Isaiah 54 and verse 15. That one is sweet. It says, surely they will gather together. But I did not originate it. Therefore, they will fall for your sake. As they gather from the north to the south, from the east to the west, in a place of work, they shall fall. Clap your hands and say, every gathering that you did not originate, every gathering that says I will not make it, they shall fall. From the north to the south, they shall fall. Hey, they shall fall. Every plant. Oh my God, in Jesus' name, we pray. See time. Should I go on? This one's sweet more than honey. It's sweeter more than honey. Isaiah 59, verse 19b. Isaiah 59, verse 19b. Isaiah 59, verse 19b. What did he say? There is a when. There's a when. Say, when the enemy shall come like a flood. Say, the Holy Ghost will lift up a standard. The flood will be there. You will be like mace thrown inside the bottle and locked, and the hand wants to get it. It will just be here, but it will not get to you. Clap your hands and say, when the enemy comes to push away my family, to flood away my marriage, to flood away my health, arise, Holy Ghost, lift up a standard against every flood of the devil, every flood of the devil, in the mighty name of Jesus. Mighty name we pray. It's like mixing sugar and honey together. This one is the sweetest. This one is sweet. In Isaiah 54 verse 17, he says, I think God must have crossed his leg. So he wants you to say, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. Every tongue that is risen up against me in judgment, I, John Igbewelomewa, will condemn it. The reason, it's my inheritance. It's my inheritance. It's my inheritance. It's my heritage. Who said it? Said the Lord. You know, look up. Oh my God, see time. We'll continue tomorrow evening. I'm a fashion... I am, or I was. No, I'm a fashion designer. So I know how to fashion things. What you want, the outcome of what you want, you will see it and you begin to work on it. I should draw the pattern. I should cut. I should begin to join it together. And the Bible is saying, no weapon fashioned. So that means the weapon that we catch Ibifobara will not be able to catch me. The temptation that can floor me will not floor you. So it will fashion your own weapon according to your weakness. Some of us, even let a woman be naked, it's like, hey, wear your clothes. But some, even when the woman wears the clothes, your eyes go penetrate. You know what I'm talking about? The devil is very wise. He does not beat you at your strong point. He beats you at your weak point. But the Bible says, no weapon, no weapon formed against you will prosper. That means they will fashion it, but it will not prosper. He said, because he will disappoint the devices of the crafty. Lift up your voices and say, in the life of John, no weapon formed against you will prosper. In the life of John Igbewelomewa, no weapon formed against your marriage will prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper. All other gods, they are the words of men. You are the only God. There is none like you. Lift your voice and hey! All other gods. Thank you. Father, we're not crazy. We're just excited that we have a God who cares. We are not arrogant, but we are proud of you. That your promises are yea and they are amen. See how you have kept your sons and your daughters. And you promised that this year we shall encounter you. Please help us to do what we have to do. What we have to do, please help us not to leave it undone. What we have to do today, help us not to push it to tomorrow.
Amen.
For those who have to be born again, help them. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Tomorrow might be too late. Amen. Visit them the way you visited Saul of Tarsus. Amen. And turn their life around.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Say a better amen.